Okay, we're up and official. It's 7 o'clock and we're ready to get started on our Tuesday night celebration of life. As you can hear, my voice has been going out for the last couple of days. We're going to go as long as I can talk tonight. I'll be on mute a couple of times to cough. I picked up a cold over the holidays. A couple of things that would be important for everyone to know. We are launching on the 18th of January a new assessment for one of our clients, Savvy Health. It's going to be a customized version of our new intentional creation assessment. It's quite spectacular. There are little videos that go with it. There are bars that have explanations on them. You click on the bars and pop-ups come up and explain in more detail. There's audio playing. It's an experience. We will be launching approximately March 1st. March 1st, the generic version that will be found on the Augmandino website. We've been in development on this. I've just spent a 275-hour research project updating all the definitions from the assessment based on our experience over the last 10 years. We're just so excited about being able to provide you with a little bit more information about each one of these measurements so that it can become more valuable to you as you're studying these principles. So we're looking forward to being able to provide that to you as well. It's a brand new year. I do hope everyone had a happy holiday season. It was great to be with you with Chad Hymas and Dr. Shondell Knowlton on Christmas Eve. For those of you who had an opportunity to be with us, thanks for joining us. And as we're looking forward now to our new year, this is 2014, hard to believe it's here. And it is. And looking forward to an opportunity to intentionally create a different outcome. Start to intentionally create a different life. Now, we know that to do that, it's going to require that we think differently. I know James Allen, I love his little book, As a Man Thinketh. I don't know him, but I know his book very well. And he talks about, you know, do we really want to change, speaking of ourselves, or do we just want to change our circumstances? And if we want to change our circumstances, it's going to be imperative that we take a new look. We're going to want to take a look at our thought processes, step back from them, and make different decisions. This is our true self, the one who can step back and take a look. But the truth is that often there are thought processes so deeply ingrained in our lives that we can think that's who we are. We feel them at a cellular level. And we're going to talk about a group of them tonight in this area we call discipline and structure. The new name for it is disciplined thinking. And I'm going to give you some new words to play with tonight in terms of what we're calling some of these measurements going forward. Because we've been working on getting even better descriptions. So we're going to be in our outer world today, our external world. These are thought processes that we use to function in the world about people, about tasks, and today we're going to be talking about critical thinking or disciplined thinking. These are thoughts about order and structure. This isn't about getting the job done. This isn't about connecting with a person. This is simply about order and structure. The first measurement in your assessment, if you'll take a look at that bottom left-hand side, it says discipline. I've decided to change this name to, well, it's going to be discipline, but it has a descriptor. It's called appreciating order and structure. Do we appreciate order and structure? How do we react when we bump into rules and regulations and policies and procedures, or someone wants to tell us this is the way we should be doing something? Do we appreciate the value, the intrinsic value in order and structure? If we're disciplined, this is balanced. Discipline means that we are embracing that order and structure. Excuse me just for a moment. If this measurement is orange, there's a high risk that we are resistant. Resistant. We're beginning to be resistant to order and structure. We say that we want to be independent. We say that we want to be able to call our own shots. My father used to say to me, Dave, life is too short to reinvent the wheel and to have all those experiences yourself. we can learn from those who have gone before us. Og says those wise people who have gone before us. We can learn from their experiences so that we can make better choices. The truth is that most of what we want to create is directly behind the very things we're resisting to do. So let's just take a look at a few of those. If you're in a home-based business, we're looking at prospecting. Now, our mind would much rather go to a time when we've got $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or $100,000 a month flowing in. It would much rather spend its time thinking about how that money would be spent. It's not as interested in reflecting on the things that need to be done and in what order and with what structure they need to be done. If I'm going to talk to a person, when we talk about mental creation, for an example, we do goal setting. We said we want to decide for 2014 how much money we'd like to make in our business. Whether it's our career, we have a job, we have a home-based business, how much money we'd like to make. Then we convert it to people. How many people's lives will I need to impact over the course of the year to create that kind of revenue? And once I know that number, I can then focus all of my effort on finding that person. As we talk about in the training, if there's 52 people, that's one person a week. Now, with discipline and structure, I say, okay, I have 24 hours a day times 7 days. My mission is to find a person that I can serve. Well, I can't say, well, I don't really feel like talking to anybody today. I'll do that tomorrow. Because we know that tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow night we'll get home and we'll be tired and we'll sit down in that easy chair and we'll turn on the TV and, you know, the voice is on or counting cars or see off or whatever it might be, dancing with the stars, and we start watching, oh, we'll just watch this one show, just one show. And pretty soon it's 10 o'clock at night. Now it's too late to call anybody. And we promise ourselves, I'll do it tomorrow night. Well, we've just burned 2 of the 7 days. We're putting tremendous pressure on us because we weren't willing to have discipline. Discipline looks like I get home at 6 o'clock. This is if you have a home-based business. If you don't, then it could be different than this. But if you have one, I get home at 5:30, 6 o'clock from my day job. I want to have enough time to have dinner with the family, maybe help with a little homework, or block out from 7 to 8 o'clock before homework and before reading to the children or whatever else you might want to do, watch your favorite TV show. I'm going to block out this hour, and nothing is going to keep me from using this time to connect with someone. Now, that's one part of the discipline. The next part of the discipline is, am I going to feel nervous and anxious and full of doubt? Or am I going to focus on how I could serve a person? I'm going to stay disciplined. I'm going to focus on how I can serve them. When I make the phone call, am I going to throw up all over them? Or am I going to step into their world, ask for permission to visit for a few moments, and listen to them? Find out what's most important to them. What's happening in their life? What do they want to accomplish? I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to stay with intrinsic validation and step into their world. Disciplined, when I find a need, am I going to cower and hang up the phone and feel good about the fact I made the call? Or am I going to care enough about them to actually invite them? Am I going to be disciplined? If I am, I will invite them. At the end of that hour, there's a very good chance I might be so engrossed in this I stick around for a little longer. Or maybe I say, nope, that was my commitment. I now can go watch my favorite TV show that I either recorded so that I can or I planned it so that I'm watching it live, whatever the case may be. That's discipline. That's a simple discipline. Now I'm going to pick on myself. Over the Christmas holidays, I can't believe how much chocolate we were given. It never dawned on me to re-gift it. I decided it would be really good to experience it. Well, the question is, when you've had 2 or 3 pieces, are we going to be disciplined? We have this goal that we want to be at a certain physical condition and weight And that decision is made in the moment. In that pivotal moment, am I going to be disciplined? Controlling anger, the same kind of thing. You go right down the list of everything you'd want to accomplish this year. Having a better relationship. Somebody just said something that pushed my button. Am I going to be disciplined in that moment and stop? Let it go? Step into their world and serve them? Or am I going to let my thought control me and just lash back and react? That's discipline. When someone says to me, you want to read this book or this scroll or consider this approach, disciplined is they know this business or they know how to do things successfully. I will surrender and do it their way and see how it works. I will do an experiment. I will test it. That's disciplined. This is such a key word because if we're not here and it's orange or red, what it means is we like to think outside the box. If we think outside the box to find better ways to do things, that can serve us. If we think outside the box to try to get away from having to do things in a certain way, I just find it so interesting as I've worked with those, and I use network marketing because I know a significant number on the phone are in that profession. How many people try to find thinking and thinking and thinking of some way to bring somebody into their business without ever having to talk to them? The perfect website, the perfect lead generation, the perfect something where we don't bring any of the human elements into it. We just think this is going to be really cool. And almost always those ways fail. Because the way to serve a person is to connect with them. Find out what they really need. Bring down their walls. Create trust. Solve their problems. Disciplined. Are we looking for new and better ways to do something easier, simpler, without doing what's really required? Are we looking for better, more effective ways to say something, to serve someone? One can be very positive. One can be very destructive. It depends on how we choose to use this thought. So I go back and remind everyone, secret desires, real intentions. Is my desire to serve, or is my desire simply to make money? Sunday morning, I woke up at 4 o'clock. Ramon and I were up at the cabin still enjoying the holiday. We were going to be leaving later that evening and coming home. And I had a dream, and I started thinking about something. And these aren't new words to all of us. It's just interesting how they came. And I got up and turned on the computer, and I typed them right then. I'll read them to you. We often say, when you chase money, it runs. When you serve, it flows. What does this really mean? When people are primarily a means to an end, they get exploited. They can feel this icky energy, and they shut down. To get the desired outcome, the process relies on well-rehearsed, clever, and often coercive sales techniques. On the other hand, when the primary mission is to bless people's lives, connection occurs. Trust is established, walls come down, needs are revealed, and real solutions are provided. Conversations are genuine and authentic. Question: coercion or connection? Money running or money flowing? Is money the aim or the natural outcome? And this acronym came to me, so I just wrote it down. Service, S for self-directed, doing the next right thing for the right reason. E is for enthusiastic. The pure definition means our God within. It means unleashing the goodness within our talents and gifts. Respectful, for R. For propriety, decency in a person's space. We don't violate their space. It causes us to feel awful. V is for victorious. We engrave our experiences on our heart instead of dragging them around in a sack. Then we get to use them to serve someone. I is for integrus. We walk our talk. And integrus could be integrity. C is for caring, filled with agape love, charity. And E for excited. There's a fire in our belly. Disciplined gives us the opportunity to take a look at, again, our real intentions, our secret desires. Because if we are looking for new and better ways to do things, it would be for new and better ways to serve people. Not cut it short so that we don't have to talk to them or do those things we're resisting, like picking up the phone, having the conversation. We're not looking for ways to shortcut that. We're looking for better ways to serve, better ways to step into their world, better ways to listen. That orange or red will serve you at a very high level. You'll get wonderful, inspired ideas. If you're using it destructively, just to cut corners and resist, it will destroy you. You'll get expectations that'll never be met. And you'll live in great levels of frustration. So that's disciplined. Let's take a look at this next one. I changed this name. This measurement is about our willingness to take direction, and specifically from people in authority. Excuse me just a moment. So the question becomes, are we respectful? Will we, from a practical standpoint, honor someone in a position of authority? Or will we be resentful or too submissive? When this measurement is orange or red, it's almost always resentful. This is when someone's trying to say something to us, and we're not about to have someone tell us what to do. And particularly if we don't believe they know what they're talking about. Now, we spend a lot of time in our Tuesday night sessions on this measurement. It's an important one if we have it orange or red. Entrepreneurs typically are not very respectful of a title, a position. They are respectful, however, when someone can contribute. So look at the orange to say, am I just being careful about who I take advice from? Or am I just resisting anyone who wants to give me advice? That's your call. But just hear it. Because if we already know everything, yet our life is not turning out the way we want it, we're in a conundrum. This is a problem. If we already think we know everything and nobody can tell us what to do, and it's not happening the way we want it, it's going to be important for us to start listening, to glean. We don't need to follow everything someone says, but listen carefully. Set aside the resistance to the messenger, because they may remind you of an ex-husband or an ex-wife or boyfriend or a girlfriend or a former teacher, professor, boss. Just because they remind you, they grate on you. Don't do that. Just set that aside. And hear the message without any accent, without any grammar issues, without any gender issues. Just listen. And pull the very best out of that conversation. If we choose to do so, we're going to be teachable. We're going to be in a situation where we can learn and improve. We become a sponge. And what I've discovered about great people is they are hungry to learn from wherever they can learn it. Hungry to learn. Are we closed to learning? If we are, chances are we will not grow. So we're going to want to be open. The third measurement, I've left the name analytical. The topic is creating new ideas. We're not just thinking about thinking. Totally thinking about thinking. This measurement is orange or red 97% of the time in entrepreneurial people. So just take a look at it. I've also distinguished that this is a measurement that can be a gift, an absolute gift, the gift of being able to think effortlessly. So just go back in your day-to-day. Did anything happen that caused you to start thinking about it? Did somebody say something at work or in your business or in your relationship? Did somebody push a button? Did somebody offend? Did you find yourself driving into your work today based on something that happened earlier that morning and you thought about it all the way in? Almost all of us were thinking about something today like that, something that maybe wasn't working, or we wanted to improve, or we wanted to be better. To see if you can get in touch with what it was. Reflect on your relationships. See if there are any buttons pushed today. Reflect on coworkers, your career, your business. Any phone calls, any letters, any emails, anything set you off a little bit today? Because if there was, and this measurement's orange or red, there's a very good chance that you spent a fair amount of time obsessively thinking about it. There's a very good chance, because it's a natural default, that you might have reflected on it in terms of negative terms. Worst case scenarios. Oh, that'll happen, and this will happen, and pretty soon this will happen. And we whip ourselves up into an emotional lather. See if you can get in touch with that today. Especially if you have an orange or red measurement. And next time you're in those moments, catch yourself. And simply say, there is nothing good that can come out of this thought process. Nothing good. The only way a problem like this will be solved is to find a positive and wonderful solution or something different to think about. And we begin thinking. If you've got an economic issue, then start thinking about ways of generating money. Think about people that you can share your business with. If we start thinking about how am I going to pay this, and then thinking about when I don't pay it, then I got a late payment, and then I you're going to foreclosure. And if we spend any time in that space, we are robbing us of the opportunity to get an inspired idea that could change all of that. I'm going to repeat that. If we spend any time in that negative space, we're robbing ourselves of the opportunity to get an inspired idea that could change everything. If this measurement is orange or red, and you choose to use this thought process constructively, mentally rehearse, seek inspiration, explore possibilities, problem solve, plan, goal set, if you're staying in this space, you will be able to get very inspired ideas. You'll just want to see them when they come, act on them as if they're urgent assignments, and intentionally create a different outcome. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to be as good as it can be. We'll never know that if we spend time in catastrophe. So just take a look at that analytical measurement. See, how much time do I spend in the day worrying? I can tell you I have a red analytical today. It takes a lot of energy to manage it because it does sometimes want to go into catastrophe. I know that when I started using it constructively, intentionally so, I think I wrote in the book, I saved 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day. Had to be. I thought I was the busiest person on the planet. And I was spending 3 productive hours in the day worrying about things that may never come to pass and often creating self-fulfilling prophecies. I was at dinner over the holidays with a dear friend we haven't seen for almost 2 years. And I remember when I did his assessment the first time. He was sitting in my office. He had a red analytical. I said, what would your life be like? What would your life be like if you stopped catastrophizing? And I remember to this day when he looked up and said, I would be non-existent. Non-existent. He is a brilliant filmmaker. Oh my goodness. Who has been able to create a living in a crazy economy because he uses his analytical thinking constructively. Now, what a gift he's given himself. He no longer wants to rob himself of the very inspired ideas that can make all the difference in his life. So take a look at that measurement, because these are worthy objectives for 2014. What would I like to do? Well, of all the thought processes in the entire assessment, this is the one, this one in goal-oriented, right across from it, do more damage than any of the other two thoughts in the entire assessment. These do the damage because they're most often orange and red, very, very active, and prone to go into default mechanisms. Goal-oriented fantasy catastrophe, analytical catastrophe, and obsessive thought. So just take a look at that. If all you did in 2014 was become aware when this thought process is showing up and shifting it, and thinking constructively, if you're like me, you will save, I want you to hear this, over 1,000 hours this year. Now, to put that in perspective, we only work 2,079 hours working a full-time job. And you'll save 1,000 hours of non-productive time. And it's not just non-productive. We start to fill our bodies with cortisol. Our amygdala starts sending fear dendrites out into our brain to shut off our prefrontal cortex to preserve energy in fight or flight. And we are rendered emotionally paralyzed. I've shared this with you before, but in the context of what we're sharing now, 10 minutes in that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement will release enough chemicals, molecules into your body that it will take 10 hours for them to bleed off. Now, it's like drinking alcohol. Drink a whole bunch of alcohol and your blood level's high, and it starts to drop off. It takes about 12 hours or so with a certain number of drinks to get back to normal. So you're not totally impaired the whole time, but you are partially, totally to partially, for 12 hours. If you pulled yourself out of that constantly throughout the day and you didn't go there and spend those 3 hours in that space, because the promise is this, when you spend 3 hours in that negative space, you very literally destroy the day, the whole day, because you're not on your game. Now, if you make choices during those times to be constructive, you're not just saving 1,000 hours a year, 3 hours a day. You're actually creating 12 to 15 productive hours. That's a huge difference. So for 2014, what would happen if we took on the single most challenging thought process in our external world? Analytical. We don't want to shut it down. We simply want to redirect it. Tremendous joy, great insights, passion being ignited, being productive. What could you create with an extra 1,000 hours a year? Now let's take it to the next level. 12,000 to 15,000. Because you're not impaired during the rest of the time. What could you create the next year? Oh my goodness, it's almost mind-blowing. Now, before I go to the last three measurements, I want to stop. Is anything coming up for anyone? A question? Something we could explore for a few moments on these first three measurements? Anybody want to share?
Hi, Dave. It's Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
So for everybody on the line, you know, if you're not going to jump in fast, look out. I'm in.
Great to hear your voice. Happy New Year.
So just a question. When you were explaining, let's see if I can remember. I think when you were explaining the mnemonic that you had for service, and you were talking about having enthusiasm and being of service, and I'm thinking of me and approaching people and so on, and how quickly, like when I have enthusiasm and people don't join in with me, you know, I go, well, have I got it wrong, or, you know, whatever goes on in my head, that it dampens my enthusiasm very quickly. And it just came up to ask whether you've got any, you know, insights around maintaining my enthusiasm to, you know, be able to give that as a gift, because I just find that that's one of the challenges that I have, to keep going. It's like, well, how come nobody's jumping on this great wagon I have? Like, what is it? Of course, it's not that nobody is, but...
I'll take you to two words. One is genuine, which comes from the word genus or genius. When we're genuine, we're owning our natural gifts and talents. Enthusiasm sometimes is misunderstood as excitement. Now, we want to be excited. We want to have a fire in our belly. But enthusiasm is a very subtle thing. Enthusiasm is letting your natural gifts come out. So you look at your assessment and you say, what does my empathy look like? What do my connection scores look like? And what I do know, and you know, and everybody else on this phone knows, if there's a measurement that's orange or red, that's not who I am. Those are just thought processes that want to rob me and everyone else of showing up for a person. So let's change the expectation. Why isn't anybody jumping on my bandwagon? Let's stop trying to get people to jump on our bandwagon. And let's focus on serving them and their needs. Then there's no disappointment. I sit down with someone, I step into their world, ask them a question, they start sharing, they open another door, I step into that door, I'm finding out wonderful things about this person. I'm creating a new friend. I'm making a friend with everyone I meet. When trust is established and their walls come down, we know by this common phrase, I've never told anybody this, but, or I've been struggling with this, and I don't have anybody to talk to. Oh, I'm a safe place. Share it with me. And they share. That is being enthusiastic. That is bringing my God within me, my goodness, my gifts, my talents, my experience, that which I've been dragging around in a sack, to the service of another person. I am absolutely connected with them, loving them, caring about them. That's enthusiasm. That's not excitement. That's a different, we'll get to that one. But enthusiasm, we show up and we serve them. Now, we don't know. I know this is different than anybody teaches it in many of the companies in the country. But I built a downline with 140,000 people. I know how to do this. And it's so exciting when a company asks me to come in and create a training to do that. Bottom line is, we don't know. We really don't know if what we have will serve them until we've stepped into their world and their walls have come down and they've shared with us. In the training, we call that a new moment of decision. And the new moment of decision is simply this. I'm here. I've been enthusiastic. I've stepped into their world. I've loved them. I've taken down their walls. You know what? They've shared some things with me. Do I have a solution that would bless their lives? I do. Well, I'm in a moment of decision. Is this the right time to share? Yeah, I think so. I so appreciate you sharing with me. You've mentioned this and this and this and this. How important are those things to you? Oh, they're just driving me crazy. I've got to solve that. I think I might have an idea. May I share it with you? Well, sure. Then you share with them the idea, as simply as it can be shared, no more than they need to hear. Is that something you'd like to learn more about? If the The walls are down. There's no icky energy here. There's no targeting. There's no feeling like I'm being recruited or sold. This person has actually got a solution for me. I would be a fool not to look at it. Sure, I'd like to look at it. Wonderful. So you get them the information. You give them a sample. Whatever you want to do at that point, we go into more detail on that. But the point being, you got on their bandwagon. That's the difference. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, thank you.
Can you feel the shift? Stop trying to get people on your bandwagon. Start spending your time getting on theirs. And you'll find more people open to the discussion. Because I know you represent some great products that people really need. But if they feel any of that wanting them on your bandwagon, they will systemically shut down. That means their walls are up and you have got a chance in Hades. Short of pounding on it with a sledgehammer or throwing up all over it or, you know, all the stuff we end up having to do to try to have a conversation about it. And then we leave frustrated and we lose our enthusiasm. What we actually lose is our excitement, our hope. Nobody wants this. Nobody wants to be recruited. Nobody wants us to put them on our bandwagon. That's what they don't want. They want solutions to their challenges. We just have to care enough to get the walls down to get to the challenge. Then we can have the conversation. Critical step. And thanks for asking, because this is going to be a great thing, I think, this year for everybody on the phone who might be in a home-based business. Let's start getting on people's bandwagon. You'll be surprised how many people want to know more about what you're doing. Catherine, is there anything else you want to discuss with us tonight? You're always asking the great questions, so thank you.
I guess I still have a gap between where I am and how to get there, but I'll listen a few more times and see if that will help.
Can I give you an exercise?
Please.
I want you tonight to go into your bathroom and look in the mirror. And this could be uncomfortable. I want you to look into your own eyes. And I want you to say to yourself, I really do love people. And I want you to hear the noise that starts to show up in your head.
I really do love
people. Say it again. I really do love people. Now look in your eyes again. And I love them enough to get on their bandwagon. See, the reason why love is a secret, this idea of serving first where money flows, is it doesn't seem logical that if I care about a person, I can actually sell more product. That doesn't seem logical.
Totally.
And some
logical,
people... It's totally logical, yeah. However, some people love them enough to listen to them and listen to them and listen to them, but they've got a fear of having a conversation about how to solve their problems. They don't invite. So go back through this next time you talk to a person. Become very conscious of where you are in the conversation, stepping into their world and listening, and what hesitations you're having to share. Trust your intuition, because it may not be yet. When you feel their walls come down and they start to share something that you have a solution for, don't jump right on it. Don't jump on it. Just say, well, share with me a little bit more about how that's impacting you in your life. What things have you considered trying? Which one of those worked the best for you? What are you doing right now? Have you reached a point where you would be interested in another possible solution? There were five questions I just asked. I think it was five. It might have been four. Five questions I asked after I discovered they had a need for which I had a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bounce. Just keep staying with them. They'll tell you everything you need to know if you'll care enough to ask. And that was recorded, so you go back and listen to that. And it might serve to just go back and play with those questions a little bit. Because every time somebody says something, well, tell me more about that. Well, what have you tried? What did you like best? What are you doing now? Are you open to, you've heard this line, are you open to other passive sources of income? Oh, come on, don't ever say that again. That's like a big red flag that says, I want to recruit you and I'm not going to let you go till I do. You don't want to send that flag up. But the energy of the question in the correct and loving place is right there. Are you open to other possible solutions? It makes sense after you found out they're dealing with it, what they've tried, what they've liked best, what they're doing now. That question is so comfortable. Are you open to another possible solution? Yeah. Well, I've been trying something. I've been really impressed by the result. Can I tell you a little bit about it? Sure. So you tell them about it. I got to get some of that. Where do I get it? I represent the product. I can help you get it. You walk away going, man, that wasn't so hard. The only thing that was hard is I have an expectation for an outcome. I have a fixed idea of how it ought to be done. My mind wants to be right and wrong about whether I was successful or not. And when our only objective is to get on their bandwagon and make a new friend, that's it. And in making a new friend, I discover if. And if I discover if, then I step deeper into. And then I share. And that's the secret. That's how you get there. You stop focusing on the end result and just focusing on making a friend. You'll be surprised what comes out of it. Especially if you're not pushing it or forcing it. Have it be comfortable for you and them. That's a great thing for you this year. You love people and love them enough to do this. And trust that it'll happen as fast as it can happen. We just keep putting time constraints on success. Success only happens as fast as we are willing to surrender to these principles and love people at this level. That or we go coerce people and sell a lot of product to weak people. We can force somebody to buy the product. They buy it for a month or two. We make $5 and it took us 3 hours and a dinner to get it. This does not make sense. If we're going to invest that kind of time in a person, we're going to want someone who has an opportunity to really enjoy the product and wants to use it long term. It's the only way revenue is generated. Real revenue. Long term. Otherwise, we're constantly trying to replace missing volume every month and next month and the next month and the next month. And every month we're starting all over again. Instead of building a stable of people who love this product because it solved their problem. Not because they can get rich selling it. Solves their problem. You can tell I'm a little exercised on that. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else that wants to ask a question or make a comment? Kathy, you always serve us at such a deep level. Thank you. You're so honest. It's just so refreshing.
Mm-hmm. If there are no more questions, I'll go one more level.
Okay, let's do it.
And others. Okay, so my little inner voice that responds to the part where you said, get on their bandwagon, get into their world. What could I do to serve them? And this is going to tie back to the discipline because, I've been so willing to do that for so long, and my creativity would take me to all kinds of things that isn't necessarily, doing my business. And although, as you've explained this next bit, I see the value of, that's what I want to do in the world. It would be to serve people that way.
Mm-hmm. Let's narrow the context.
But,
Okay, but go ahead, put the but in there. So.
And so then it's still the discipline to, let's see, keep finding enough people to share my message with, I guess, about the business that I have and the products that I have, and to, you know, keep finding the people for whom that is, would serve. So my question is about getting pulled off, you know, when it's like, oh, well, I could see they might need something else or this or that or the other thing that seems like it might serve, and getting myself pulled so far away because I spend so much time and energy outside of, you know, my mission to put some time towards my own business.
Mm-hmm.
That's my little
inner voice
that came up, so if you can address that.
It's a great inner voice. Excuse me just one moment. Thank goodness for mute buttons. Okay. We want to narrow the context. When we say service, you're not a church. You're not a saint. You're in business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you take a look at what you have to offer in terms of a possibility to create an income. It's true. The possibility to have better health in certain areas or skin care, whatever it might be. Just take a look at all those pieces. And just ask yourself, who needs something like this? Whose life would be blessed by having these products? Do I feel like mine is being blessed because of them? Do I just use them so that I can justify making money with them? Or do I really have a personal testimony of the value of these products in my life? It's a great place to explore. I have no indictment about that, just want to explore that piece. Number two, I'm going to sit down and step into a person's world. My conversations are going to be somewhat targeted. I don't want to know, I don't mind knowing about everything in their life, but my interest is around, let's say, skin care. Sit down with a lady. Do you ever look in the mirror and say, I'm getting a little bit older? It's kind of a bold question, isn't it? I'm doing the whole role play here. Kind of a bold question, I know. But between us ladies, do you ever look in the mirror and ask that question? And the person's going to say, yeah, I do. Does it ever go beyond a question? Do you ever read about it, research it? Oh, yeah. What have you discovered? Wouldn't it be wild if they just said to you, yeah, I just discovered that one of the most important things you can do is, and that ingredient happens to be in your product. Wouldn't that be wild?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to be serendipitous, but if you're stepping into the person's world and you're narrowing your context, you're staying in your topic, but you truly want to know where they are, what they've done. Yes, I've read something. Could you share with me the most interesting thing you've discovered? Sure. So they start talking. Well, have you tried anything like that? Yeah, I bought this stuff and I tried it, but it really didn't do anything and it made me feel a little uncomfortable. Have you found anything you really liked? Well, I've tried this and I've tried that. How important is this to you? And just have it's a conversation. Now, it sounds like you're leading to a sales pitch, but you don't know because you may discover this person thinks it's important, but they really don't want to do anything about it. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for sharing. And you move on to the next person. You don't try to force anything. You never create that uncomfortable, uneasy feeling. But if they're in a conversation with you and they're doing something and they say, yeah, this is really important to me and I don't know what to do, what's it going to be like 5 years from now or 10 years from now? And I'm starting to get a little nervous. I was starting to get a little nervous. I found something I really like. And I like it so much, I can't help telling people about it. Can I tell you? Now that's excitement, isn't it? Can I tell you? Oh, sure, tell me. But but you're on the same page on a topic that's important to them, and you know it before you ever go there. That's how you serve. You serve by finding out the need, then you serve the need. And I thank you for making that clarification, because others on the phone may have been misunderstood that, you know, that when we say we want you to visualize a sailboat, I want you to visualize it long enough to see if it's important to you. Now come back and create it. Don't spend every waking hour on the sailboat. That's a risk with fantasy. When I say service, I don't mean you just go out and see who needs their lawn mowed and their dishes done and their laundry taken care of and help someone across the street. You know, it's wonderful if you're there and someone needs help, help them walk across the street. Keep your eyes open. Be conscious as you're living. But in your business, serving someone is finding out if there's a need and then serving them with the need, with the solution. That's the service we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really feel passionate about your product, you'll ask those kind of questions. And if you ask those kind of questions, more often than not, you'll find someone who engages in a conversation. And if you do, there's a point in that conversation where you say, I found something that's working for me, and I have never been so excited about something like this in my life. Can I share it with you? Well, sure. Now you're like girlfriends, you know, you just share it.
Mm-hmm.
A different kind of energy. So serve that way. Don't rob yourself of the other opportunities. Just don't. The service I'm talking about is find the need, serve the solution. Serve with the solution. And know it two or three weeks from now, after they've used that product, and they start to enjoy in their skin, for an example, what you're enjoying in your skin, and they're going, I am so glad you shared this with me. Wonderful. Now watch the sequence. They're now using the product. They're having their own experience with it. You call them up, how's the product working? Oh, wonderful. Oh, I'm so glad I shared it with you. I was a little afraid to, because I didn't want to violate your space. Oh, no, I'm so glad you did. Oh, good. I'm going to ask you one more difficult question then. Would that be okay? Can I share one more thing with you? Yeah. I represent this product because I love to share it with people. Want to do it with me? That's a natural conversation. It's fun. It's inviting. Yeah, let's talk about that. Or no, I'm just so busy, but I really enjoy the product. Good. Stay on it. Let's keep serving you. And you've got a customer. If they say, yeah, let's talk about that, you might have a business partner. Now, those are some idealistic conversations. There's no question. That was the voice that was in my head to say, you know, Catherine, you know, you're taking all the, you know, you're throwing softballs at yourself here, so they're easy to hit. I realize that. I just want you to feel what it feels like. Because when you finally relax into this and you start having some of these conversations and you start having some success with them, you go, why was I making this so hard? That's why it doesn't work. We make it hard, and when we make it hard, we violate people's space. They shut down. We feel uncomfortable. We feel like we're violating them, and we don't want to do that anymore. And yeah, that's because we made it too hard. Keep it really simple. Love people. Serve them by finding their challenges, and if you can, serve them by providing a solution. And don't try to get them to try the product, sign up, and become a top-ranked person in your company in the next 3 days. Because our mind will want us to do that. Give these relationships time to nurture. And we'll know that we're doing it when we don't lose energy doing it. We want to do it again and again and again and again and again. We can't wait to talk to the next person and step into their world. Becomes invigorating. And all of a sudden we have 10 customers and two or three of them want to join us in the business. And we've taught them how to honor and love people. so they can do it immediately, easily, without making it too hard. You see, honor people. Serve them by stepping into their world. Serve them by finding a need, and then providing a solution. And anything short of that's coercion. And it feels awful to do it, and it feels awful to have someone do it to you. Okay, I've stopped rambling. Any other little voices coming up?
No. I'm good for a while. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Okay, take a big deep breath, Catherine. Just look in the mirror tonight. I love people. Let everything we've talked about tonight just fill your soul. When you get up in the morning before you leave, look in that mirror. I love people. Maybe read scroll 2. I'll greet this day with love in my heart. Most of all, love myself. And then step out into the world and serve in that space. Well, we're about going to wrap up for the night. I'm so glad we went into this space. This is really a discipline we're talking about. We're using intrinsic validation, but we're disciplined enough to do it, to do it often. It's a discipline to care about people, especially if we have thought processes that just want to rob us of those opportunities. We just got about 2 or 3 minutes. If there's anyone else that would like to make a comment before we wrap up tonight, my voice is just about ready to leave me, so anyone else that I can serve tonight? And I do hope this has served you. Okay, now next week we're going to take on joy in the journey. I have created a new table of contents for the new, you'll all have this when it comes up, and the new studio, Intentional Creation Studio, is released. Everybody on this phone call is going to have the new one. It's going to be an automatic. You'll be able to go in and take a new assessment, and we'll turn on the new studio for you. And it's really fun, and it's much more comprehensive, and a little bit more easy to just study and practice, study and practice, study and practice. So let's come next week prepared to take on joy in the journey. We'll talk about gratitude and recognition and remuneration and managing our time and joy and sorrow, embracing obstacles, and living with meaning and purpose. Most of us, unfortunately, want to be somewhere else, doing something different. We want it to be different than it is. And joy in the journey is going to take us into the space where we take what we have and we begin the process of creating each millimeter and finding joy in the creation, not frustration in the difference between our expectation and reality. Well, thanks, everyone. In terms of discipline, I'd like you to study scroll number 6 this week. Scroll number 6, I'll be the master of my emotions. Weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. We're going to want to be the master of our emotions. We become the master of our emotions by mastering these systemic thought processes, this disciplined, teachable that we're calling respectful, analytical. Well, thanks, everyone. Jump off of mute and just say goodnight, if you would, please.
Goodnight, Dave.
Goodnight, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Goodnight, everyone. Thank you so much.
Goodnight, everyone. Thanks.
Good night.